Good evening. Scripture reading is in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, first four verses. If you're using a Bible beneath your bench, it's on page 1014. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 4. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. For you are still carnal, for where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal?
Saints in Corinth. But I want you to know a blessing is truly enjoyed in Christ when we can support brethren with their needs. Spiritual crisis, for example, those who are strong, we learn in Romans chapter 15, verse 1, are to support the weak. Those who are spiritual are to help those who have been overcome in a fault. Galatians in chapter 6 and verse 1. It is a part of the law of Christ to thus bear one's or help bear another's burden. Galatians chapter 6 verse 2. There is joy found in serving others. At the same time, we have a individual responsibility to be strong. It is incumbent upon us to learn, to be proactive, to grow up and be strong in the Lord. Galatians in chapter 6 and verses 4 and 5, right after Paul discusses the fact that it is a blessing to help and to serve, each Christian has a responsibility to bear his own load, Paul says. We will be held accountable for our own actions, Romans chapter 14 and verse 12. And thus, it is our responsibility to pick ourselves up. If you go back and you look in Hebrews in chapter 12 and verses 12 through 13, it is as if the author there in Hebrews in chapter 12 and verses 12 through 13, he is addressing the idea of renewing ourselves spiritually. It is as if he is saying, give yourselves a little pep talk. Have you ever given yourself a pep talk before? Come on now, Scott, get with it. Let's do this. I tell you what, when I ran cross country, there were a lot of pep talks I gave myself. You know, just keep going. Don't stop. Keep going. And on a spiritual basis, I think that's what the author is saying. Spiritually, sometimes you've just got to give yourself a little pep talk. Wax strong and move on. But sadly, some Christians never seem to progress, always needing to be served or supported. Unable to get with it and grow up and be mature as they should. they remain very dependent on the brethren. And I know the very tone of this lesson sounds so unchristian, and I'm sorry. But if you look in the scriptures, brethren, it is perfectly scriptural. It is biblical. And I hope by the time we're finished tonight with tonight's lesson, I don't want you neglecting anybody. I don't want you to cast anyone off. But I want us to think on the totality of what God is saying with regards to our responsibility, not only unto one another, but unto ourselves. But there are brethren who remain very dependent upon brethren. And unless constantly nurtured by the brethren, always prodding, they become apathetic. Such brethren are what we might call high maintenance members. Let me ask you, are you a high maintenance member? Is there ever an okay time for us to be a high maintenance member? Let's look at this. With regards to maintenance, and we talk about maintenance, the word itself refers to something that needs a lot of attention. A lot of attention. You are required to maintain it, to keep it in order. Takes a lot of your time. Takes a lot of your energy. A lot of effort. Maybe even a lot of money. There are things that can require a lot of maintenance. You know what my motto is in life, brethren. Friends don't let friends buy Volvos. That's my motto, and I'm sticking to it till the day I die. I'm going to tell you, as some of you already know, used to own a Volvo. Oh, boy, I tell you, didn't think there'd be anything like owning a Volvo. It's got a turbo under that hood. Looks sharp, too. Well, not with the younger generation. Cole kept accusing me of buying something that looked like it was from Star Trek. I thought that was a good thing, Vince, but... And he wouldn't ride in it. Do you know Cole wouldn't ride in that car with me for about a month? Until he got desperate and he had to go eat. So, and he'd ride in it. But I'm going to tell you, that car that I used to own, it kept me awful close to the Lord, Roger. Because I prayed every time I got in that car. Please, dear Lord, please, God, let me get to where I need to be and help me to get back home safely. I prayed every time I got in that car. No joke. It was an absolute nightmare. I couldn't even give the thing away. You know, homes can become run down. I didn't know what it was to be a homeowner until I moved to Fairborn, Ohio. All the congregations Dan I preached for before that time, I lived in the parsonage. And it was the responsibility of the brethren to take care of the parsonage. Well, I'm here to tell you, when Scott Spencer moved into 1201, as Trey said when he was, how old was he? Almost 2 years old. 1201 Marietta Drive. Marietta Drive. Whenever we moved there, I learned, Archie, what it was to be a homeowner. Still I'm learning. Still learning it. But that's okay. You see, our homes require maintenance. And you let it go, it's not going to fix itself. It's not going to fix itself. I know that all of you who own a home can relate to what I'm saying. And I know you guys in particular at this time can relate to that. Believe it or not, church buildings require maintenance. They do. They do. That's why we have a budget. We went over the budget here a couple of Sundays ago. And there's a lot of money, I realize, that goes into this building. But Brenner, I'm here to tell you, there's got to be a lot of money that goes into this building to do the upkeep on it. Right? If you don't, things are going to start falling in around your head. Parking lot's going to start to become a problem. I'm reminded of the fellow who stopped in at a church building who was looking to begin a new work in a new town as a preacher. And he stopped in at this old rundown church building and he went and knocked on the door. And this little old gentleman came to the door and opened it up. And he says, "Oh, I didn't know that there was anyone meeting here. I'm just interested in, I thought, you know, based upon the condition of it, that it might be for sale." That gentleman was so offended, but they let it go. The church members just let it go. Things require maintenance and upkeep. But I want you to know that people can be high maintenance too. People can be high maintenance too. Some justifiably so. There are those, like my daughter, who has special needs. We walk for her and we talk for her. And that's okay. She's high maintenance. And we love her anyway. We love her anyway. Elderly folks can be high maintenance. I mean, I'm not naming names, but I'm just saying, had a conversation not long ago with someone who's up in years. And this individual told me, "I just don't know how. I broke my leg. I just stood up. My leg broke." Well, you know, whenever we begin to become a certain age, body parts we didn't know we had begin to ache and scream out for pain. Babies and small children, are they high maintenance? Man, you better believe they are. You better believe they are. And we wouldn't have it any other way. I got to share this with you, and I'm going to tell on a little Lola. I don't know if you noticed after our fellowship dinner we had this afternoon, she was pulling around this huge trash can, and folks would take their trash off their table and put it in the can, and she was dragging that can from table to table. And she came to where I was sitting, and I finished things up, and she looked at me with those beautiful blue eyes and that blonde hair and says, "I think you're a really good preacher." Now, I'm going to tell you something. There's not a thing you're going to say to me. I don't care if you like his sermon or not. You're not going to ruin my day after a statement like that. You say I'm fired. I'm still in a good mood based upon what she said to me today. That was gorgeous. "You're a really good preacher." She might be the only one who thinks that. But I just don't agree. But I just... you know, I that was precious. I'll never forget that. I will never forget that. But then there's the other half. Those who are of sound mind, those who are of sound body, those who are fully functioning, able to reason, to walk, and to talk, seem to be stuck in a rut. Have no ambition, have no drive, have no motivation. For all practical purposes, can be classified as takers rather than givers. Life for them is like one big game of Monopoly. They drew the card that said "don't pass, go," and they took it literally. The sad but true reality in the realm of religion is this. It can certainly be applied, sadly, to a Christian people can be high maintenance. Christians can be high maintenance. We see in Acts chapter 6, those Grecian widows, those Hellenistic widows, and they were neglected. There's no arguing that. And the daily distribution, that's what the scriptures tell us. And they probably had a right gripe. We're being overlooked. The apostles didn't rebuke them. They didn't chastise them. They simply said, okay, let's fix it. Choose 7 men. Here are the qualifications. Men full of the Holy Spirit. Men who are full of wisdom. You select 7 men who are qualified, who are capable of doing this, and you come on down to verse 4. But we must continue to give ourselves to ministering of the word and prayer, you see. We can't be distracted from our job, our duties. But Paul said, we are to honor widows who are really widows. In 1 Timothy in chapter 5 and verse 3. Of course, widows along with orphans can be mentioned in the same vein. James chapter 1 verse 27, right? Pure and undefiled religion is to see to their needs. I really appreciate Don Pugh and Archie Caudill and their involvement with Midwestern Children's Home. There are folks there that are precious. All those children are precious. And they require our involvement, our direct involvement. Also, hurting Christians require some degree of high maintenance. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, as we've already expressed. They could be hurting for various reasons. The loss of a job. The loss of a loved one. And so forth. They could be dealing with a personal sin that requires a good Christian friend to hold their hand and to pray with them and to encourage them as they go through that difficult struggle. These types of things with regards to high maintenance, it's understandable. It's understandable. However, then there are those who can do and should do more in the name of the Lord, but instead of serving, they are constantly needing to be served. Instead of doing, they need others to do for them or want others to do for them. Instead of falling in line and doing the things that a faithful Christian should do, they easily fall away and are constantly being prodded and stroked to hang in there. Come on back now. Don't be that way. Let's get with it. Brother, we see examples of this in the scriptures. Brian Castro read one such instance there in 1 Corinthians in chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. The Apostle Paul says, brother, I wish I could talk to you on a spiritual level, but I can't. You're carnal. You're like babies. Why is that? He even tells you why. Because there's just divisions here. There's envy. There's strife. You just can't seem to get it together. I wish I could have a spiritual conversation with you. You just won't grow up. It says a very similar thing in 2 Corinthians in chapter 12, and verses 20 through 21. And he starts to list sins of theirs individually. But then there's the opposite of that. You look at what Paul was writing to those brethren in the book of Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians in chapter 1 and verse 6, Paul says, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith towards God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. Do you think these brethren were high maintenance? No, not at all. Not at all. Not at all. But Paul constantly found himself, got to go back to Corinth. Got to go back to Corinth. Got to write another letter to Corinth. Got to deal with the problems in Corinth because those brethren just refused to grow up. Friends, I want you to know that there is a drawback or a negative effect on the church when the church is involved in high maintenance mode all of the time. And how it affects the church. Number one, I want you to know that it hinders growth in the church when we are constantly in this mode of just coddling and pampering and babying. Now, how does it hamper growth? Well, how does the church grow? Well, the church grows through evangelism, through edification, through benevolence. But growth may be adversely affected if unnecessary effort is spent on a select few. The operative word is unnecessary. Now listen to what I'm saying. Why would it be unnecessary? Because the high-maintenance member can primarily do for themselves. Or they are encouraged to have others who are closer to them to do for them. What are you talking about, Scott? What do you mean? I think Paul gives us a good model of this in 1 Timothy in chapter 5. When he's addressing the widows in 1 Timothy in chapter 5, let's go through this and look at this real quick. In verse 3, Paul says, honor widows who are really widows. Well, how are you going to know? How are you going to know? If any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety where?
At home.
At home. Let them show it at home. And to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. Don't lose sight of that. Now she who is really a widow and left alone, trusts in God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day, she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. And these things command that they be blameless. But if anyone does not provide for his own, especially those of his own household, he has denied the faith. He is worse than an unbeliever, Paul says. This is a serious charge. The responsibility of children, of grandchildren, caring for their aged parents. Do not let a widow under 60 years old be taken into the number. And not unless she's been the wife of one man, well reported of, with good works. If she has brought up children, if she has lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has received the afflicted, if she has been diligent and following every good work. So we see some qualifiers here. We see some qualifiers here. He's not saying, no, it's not as if we can't help, we shouldn't help. But here's some qualifiers. First of all, you've got believing children, you've got believing family members. Well, they need to be involved first. That's option A. Oh, by the way, here's some qualifiers. Then he's going to talk about younger widows, though. Refuse younger widows. What? Well, that just doesn't sound very Christian to refuse younger widows. For when they have begun to grow wanton against Christ, they desire to marry, having condemnation because they have cast off their first faith. And besides, they learned to be idle, wandering from house to house. And not only idle, but also gossip and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. Therefore, Paul says, I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Here's what Paul's saying. Look, you're young. You're still yet able to hit the reset button, marry, and have another family and move forward. That's what he's saying. Don't let this become a situation where you become high maintenance. You can start another life. But then he goes on. For some have already turned aside after Satan, he says. Look at verse 16, though. Underscore this. If any believing man or woman has widows, look at this, let them relieve them. Why? Look at this. And do not let the church, what? Be what? Be burdened, be charged. Is Paul saying that we're not supposed to help people out? No, he's not saying that at all. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, do good unto all, especially those in the household of faith. But here's a model that Paul is giving, because what would be the point behind this? First of all, mom and dad have invested their whole lives in their children, and they invest in their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren. Now, when they're up in years, you return that love. That's what he's saying. He's talking about family members. That's what he's talking about. Now, with that being the case, and that being so, how does it hinder the growth in the church? You know, there's a little parable there in Matthew chapter 13 that Jesus shares. And maybe the caption above it talks about the four soils. A lot of the headings that I see in Matthew chapter 13 deal with the soil. Some I have seen deal with the sower, but a lot of them deal with the soil. Now, follow what I'm saying. Friends, the soil doesn't receive any shot, none whatsoever, of receiving the seed, the Word of God, as Jesus depicts it, if the sower is not sowing. And if the sower is always distracted, he'll never be given an opportunity to sow. Did you know that? He's always busy. Busy putting out brush fires. Busy with a high maintenance member. Can't be involved in helping promote growth in the church, because the high maintenance member is pulling him or pulling her aside. Just think about that. Two, I want you to know it holds back effort of the workers. The Apostle Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians in chapter 12, verses, 4 and following, about various members in the body. I need to step out from the podium to illustrate this. Now, the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you've got to understand the church is at a very miraculous time in its age. And it seemed like to possess a miracle was a big deal. A big deal. Those in the charismatic movement today, trust me, will make you feel inferior because you don't possess some miraculous gift. You know how I know that? I came from the charismatic movement in my teenage years. I know this to be true. But when we're looking at the various members in the body, Paul talks about how these members, God has designed them and put them in such a place, they are to profit all. It's to profit all.
And every member in the body is vital. Every member in the body is important. Eye, ear, hand, nose, feet. Every member in the body is important. Let's try this analogy for a moment. I am right hand dominant. Now I'm going to throw a curveball at you. I am right hand dominant, Roger, for everything except throwing frisbees. I don't know why. I can't throw a frisbee right-handed. I digress, though. I have to throw a frisbee left-handed. I might get asked on that. You know, why is it? But anyway, I'm right-handed with everything. What if I woke up tomorrow morning now and this right hand says, that's it, I'm done. I'm done pushing, I'm done pulling, I'm done writing, I'm done doing anything. I quit. My left hand has a couple options here, Dan. Come on, buddy. Come on, buddy. It's all right. You don't know what that... That's okay. I'm getting tired of that preacher because every time I come there, he doesn't shake my hand. It's okay. We'll talk to him about it. You know, have you talked to him? No. Okay, well, let's go talk to him about it. Yep. Just come on. I'll come back this time. Okay. Something else happens. That's it. I'm done. All right. Here, come on. No, I'm done. I'm serious. I'm not going back there anymore. You know what my left hand is left doing? One of two things. My left hand is left doing all the work that the right hand refuses to do. Are you following what I'm saying? There are some members in the church that are stretched so far and so hard because there are people in the church that are not pulling their load. I'm just preaching it and teaching it the way it's written. Or they cannot do what God calls on them to do because, come on, buddy, let's get with the program. Come on, brother, come on now. And we can't ever do what God wants us to do because we're too busy pampering. I love the body analogy that Paul gives. It's perfect. It's just perfect.
It holds back work that workers need to be doing when we are busy trying to pacify and please and satisfy the high maintenance member. Third and finally, and this lesson is yours. More serious needs that arise in the church, they'll go unmet. There are some real serious needs that come along in the Lord's body where people are truly have needs that really truly need met. Perhaps there are folks that truly qualify and are deserving of our time and our effort. And instead of us giving them that attention that they need and helping them, we find ourselves once again, and you can fill in the blank, doing things with regards to priority that is not our job. The reason I have Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 41 up there is whenever Jesus was in the home of Mary and Martha. You remember that? Jesus was the honored guest. Martha was busy about playing hostess, as anyone would. She was trying to be the perfect hostess. But here's Mary,
sitting at the feet of Jesus and just soaking in every word that he spoke. Who was right, who was wrong? It's a matter of priority. Who is in your presence? Jesus is in your room. Jesus is in your house. He's talking. Stop and listen. Listen to what he has to say. Mary chose the good part. That was the priority. It was priority. And I guess what I'm trying to say to you is we need to pray unto God that he will give us the wisdom and not be mean or unkind or callous. I'm not trying to callous your hearts. I don't want your hearts hard. But to prioritize and place things in a proper category spiritually as they should be. Certain needs, certain matters outrank others. I don't need to give any specific examples. But I think that in your heart of hearts, you can discern right from wrong. Right from wrong.
My desire is the fact that you've been challenged with this. To reflect on your own work in the kingdom of God. To bear your load, but not just bear your load, yes, to help bear the load of others. Who need help. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 9 says the following. He who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer. I want to encourage you tonight, friend, to think on these things.
Now, as soon as I say that, please, don't be looking over your shoulder. What was it that I said to Scott that made him preach that? You know, because he might be, look, let's just throw this out. That sermon was for me. How's that make you feel? Okay, that's for me. That's for me. Preach it on Sunday morning. Okay, next Sunday morning, bring me that. You got a request. Because I know I've got the faithful here tonight. I'm sure of that. I know that. Sunday night's usually a true test of that. But I want to encourage you, friend, if you've not obeyed the gospel, that you do so before it's eternally too late. Listen, today, at a teachable moment, as I drove to Hamilton, Ohio, to pick up a refrigerator that I bought from a lady off Facebook who actually sold it out from underneath me, and I was coming back, I digress. Colt was looking at his phone. He says, Daddy, this is bad. I said, what? He said, Kobe Bryant was killed in a crash today. I said, what? He said, yeah, this is what the heading is, and he just read it to me. Cold. Let this be a lesson to you. Be a Christian. Be faithful. Be prepared. That's what I said, being absolute. Be a Christian. Be faithful. Be prepared. And you know what happens to those who assemble with the one who became a Christian, who was faithful and was prepared? You go from sadness and sorrow to joy and celebration. Don't you know? You do.
We do.
You absolutely, we do. That's the difference.
Say it again, Brother Scott.
Yes.
Say it again.
Yes. When you go from a situation of being lost versus saved, it's night and day difference. When you're saved, how sorrowful it is, how sad it is. But when a person is saved, they're in a saved state. Oh, it's a celebration. We rejoice. It's incentive. Let me tell you this. I'll tell you what, it is incentive. I preach this, I want to apologize for this. It is incentive for me to remain faithful because I want to see that loved one again someday. Do you know that?
Amen.
It is incentive to remain faithful, Dan. A whole other sermon, just got off on a tangent. Right there in an invitation. I might be as good as Archie someday. Go to a funeral and a Pentecost breakout.
What did you say to your son, though? What was those three words?
Oh, absolutely. I said, be a Christian, be faithful, be prepared. That's it. That's it, right there. All right, I want to encourage you tonight. If you've not obeyed the gospel, come forward.